On today's episode of Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures, we dive into the world of movie music.
We talk about hypothetical fights in the Karate Rock universe.
And we talk about the guy who never gives up, Joe Bean Esposito. We are talking about You're the Best from Karate Kid 1 on Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures. Now, today's song, definitely not nominated for an Academy Award for Best Song, and actually was pretty much forgotten about until the kind of turn of the century.
Yeah. You're the Best by Joe Bean Esposito from Karate Kid. And it has a long storied history of how the song sort of came about. Not long and storied necessarily, but it has a history.
It does.
But we should talk about Mr. Esposito first. Do you know how he got his nickname Bean?
It's in an interview with Medium.com. Medium isn't actually a news outlet. As I'm saying this, Medium is just one of those website things, right? But yeah. It's from something called Spotlight Central.
Okay.
So, and they had an interview with Joe Esposito. It was during the pandemic, I think, but published in September. Okay. So here we go. Here is the story. And so, do you got the age of Joe Esposito there? When was he born?
Yeah, he's 75, so he was born in 1948.
Right, and he's coming to New York, although I really think he should be coming out of New Jersey, because of how he acts, but that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. So, Joe Bean Esposito is in high school, so here's the story. There was a girl in my high school named Wilhelmina Bean, and I always thought that was a funny name. Do you remember the TV show The Fugitive with David Janssen? Every week, he was in a different town, and he had a different name. Well, one day I walked into Eddie's mother's candy store, and I made believe I was looking...
Who's Eddie?
I think Eddie is in his band that became like the Brooklyn...
Brooklyn Dreams?
Dreams, yeah. Okay. So I didn't read too closely, but yeah. So, but he's also the type of guy who'll just mention people. We're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, Eddie. Okay, oh, thanks,
of course,
Joe.
We all know who Eddie is.
He goes, I walked into Eddie's mother's candy store, and I made believe I was looking for a job. And they said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a soda jerk. They said, what's your name? And I said, Joe Bean. And everybody started cracking up. And just as soon as I said Joe Bean, I knew I was going to be Joe Bean for the rest of my life.
So he gave himself his own nickname.
So I think we talked about that with the Cherish episode where you tried to call yourself, was it Wiggles?
No, I tried to call myself the Hammer, but I got saddled with the nickname Wiggles.
Well, cool.
Thanks for bringing that up.
I know, sorry about that. And of course, Cool gave himself a nickname.
Yeah.
That one stuck.
Yeah.
But I feel like Bean is like the worst nickname you could come up with, except for Wiggles.
It's not a great nickname, no.
No, and so I guess it comes out of a soda stuff, but this is like in the 60s where I'm like, listen, I did actually watch some of The Fugitive, but it's because my dad's the same age as Joe Bean Esposito.
Yeah.
But this whole soda pop shop stuff is something out of another time.
Oh, yeah, I don't understand it at all.
The other reason Joe Bean has to stay is there's Joe Esposito, who is Elvis's road manager,
yeah.
And there's Joe Esposito, who's actually in the Screen Actors Guild, and you can't have two of them.
Oh, okay.
That's why Michael Douglas had to change his name to Michael Keaton.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Could have just been Michael Bean Douglas, though. Yeah. I don't know if he would have got the Batman part. So Joe Bean Esposito, yeah, met a bunch of buddies at high school, and they were like doing doo-wop stuff.
Okay.
But they ended up becoming a band that was Brooklyn Dreams.
Brooklyn Dreams, yeah.
And all I can think about is that kids show from the 90s. What was it called? California Dreams? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. They played basketball a lot.
Yeah. That's all I could think of is the songs that came out of that. But they actually did really well.
So Brooklyn Dreams, actually, they collaborated quite a bit with Donna Summer in the 70s.
That's correct. I'm just going through my research here. They might not have met in high school, but they met around the neighborhood. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there because
yeah.
I don't want Joe Bean giving me an angry email. But yeah, Donna Summer. Not only that, Joe Bean Esposito was a co-writer on one of her number ones, which was Bad Girls.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then they sang a song, I think earlier, called Heaven Knows. And Joe Bean actually sings on that one.
Yeah. Down inside. Don't get caught with foolish pride.
And he doesn't sound anything like he does on today's song.
On You're the Best.
Yeah. But he...
Which one would you consider the best then?
The best. You're okay. The best. You're okay. The best is the best.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he does some good stuff and he sounds fine, but he seems to me to be... This isn't to denigrate him, but he's kind of the other guy. So yeah. He's looked over a lot. So that in his history, he's got contracts that kind of like fall through. He's made money, I'm sure, with the Donna Summer thing. So he's done very well. He's very popular with the Hollywood people. Mm-hmm. Stallone liked him. They got along. Yes. There's a whole bunch of songwriters who liked him. So he sounds like the guy everyone liked.
Yeah, because he was a songwriter for Staying Alive. Like the...
Oh, right. The John Travolta.
The John Travolta. Yeah. Well, yeah, the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Shockingly didn't make it into our movie thing, but maybe next year.
Maybe next year, yeah.
So Joe Bean ends up kind of moving into movie work after his Brooklyn Dreams stuff.
Yes.
And he actually, we were just talking about this before it started. He was actually going to be singing the What a Feeling, the Flashdance song. He sang the demo to it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he said he had to make up lyrics. So they didn't have lyrics yet. So there's a demo out there of Joe Bean Esposito doing What a Feeling. And they had to wait for Irene Cara to sign the deal. And they said, they had talked about that Irene Cara had to sign by 3. The producer's like, she has until 3. I think it's Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah.
He's like, she has until 3. And then if not, Joe Bean is singing.
Yeah.
So at 2:45, they get a call that Irene's going to do it. Oh, okay. So he's sitting there waiting to sing it.
Oh, geez. So he's so close,
he's
right?
so close. Yeah. But he does a song called Lady, Lady, Lady.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got the Moroder feel.
Yeah.
So he's done fine for himself, and he's kind of always the other guy. Like there's one of the episodes we did, we talked about how he was in line to be in one of these major duets.
It was in Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
He was supposed to do...
Time
of My Life with, who was it now? It may have been Donna Summer.
That would make sense because they're buds. Yeah, so he's always the other guy.
Yeah.
But he ends up making it, finally, for this movie. But he barely makes it in terms of how this all came together.
Yeah, so Joe Bean Esposito sings this song. It's written by Bill Conti and Ali Willis.
And Ali Willis is a good friend of Joe Bean Esposito's.
Yeah.
So that works out in his favor, too.
And Bill Conti is from the Rocky soundtrack, Gonna Fly Now, right?
Yeah, and Ali Willis has huge pedigree.
Yes.
Do you know some of the songs? Let me tell them to you.
Well, if you gave me a second to talk, maybe I might be able to tell you some of the songs.
Why don't you tell me some of the songs?
I don't know them.
Oh, okay. All right. Neutron Dance.
Oh.
Sisters. Do you remember the Pet Shop Boys' Dusty Springfield song? What have I done to deserve it? She wrote that.
Okay.
And there's way more. She's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Oh, I got a couple more for you. Ready? Have you heard a song called September by Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
There's also this one that was in this like kind of a small little TV show called Friends. She wrote a song called I'll Be There For You.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. So the song is written by Bill Conti, Ali Willis. Obviously, huge pedigree between the...
Oh, my goodness.
They write this song for Rocky III.
And specifically knowing the story of Rocky III.
Yeah.
The lyrics fit the story of Rocky III.
Exactly, right? So this song is written specifically for Rocky III. Sly Stallone says, nope, we're going with Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
And how could you not?
Exactly, right? That song is synonymous with that movie.
It's the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Here's this banger track that has been written and recorded, ready to go, nowhere to go.
That's right. And then there's this guy named John G. Avildsen or Avildsen. You got it there, Frank?
Yeah, John G. Avildsen.
Okay. I never get the pronunciation right, so I just
make it up. Avildsen. Avildsen.
Good job. Good job. Pretty good director in his own right. He directed a little movie called Rocky One. They didn't call it one. So the original director of Rocky is also still, I mean, I'm sure he chums around with Stallone because they all made it because of this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he liked the song and so brought it with him to this project. He also brought Bill Conti with him to Karate Kid. So Bill Conti scores Karate Kid and wrote three songs for the soundtrack and also did all the scoring, of course. But of the three songs, You're the Best was actually one that he brought with him from the Rocky III sessions.
Here's another example of Joe Bean Esposito being that other guy. The single from the Karate Kid soundtrack was The Moment of Truth by Survivor.
I know.
So here, like twice bit by Survivor, right?
Yeah. Now, fair enough. Moment of Truth shows up in the sort of motifs of all the scores in it.
Yeah.
But You're the Best is the song actually used in the movie. Moment of Truth doesn't show up until after, you know, the credits start rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's the other guy. And not only that, when the studio heads got the song, they got someone else to sing it. And the director, Avildsen, is like, no, I want the guy who sang it for Rocky III. I don't want whoever you brought in here.
Yeah.
So he had to fight to get Joe Bean Esposito actually on it, like his version.
Yeah.
So
do you know who they were trying to bring in?
No.
You guessed it right here, folks. It was Frank Stallone.
That would be the cruelest thing they could do.
That would be so amazing.
For Joe Bean Esposito, which we're going to only refer to as Joe Bean Esposito.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no Joe Esposito anymore. Right. It's forever Joe Bean.
Yeah. The guy from the soda store.
Yeah. The soda jerk.
All right, Frank. We've covered it. I think we're ready to talk the song itself.
I think so, too. There's nothing else about the creation of this song other than it exists in the same universe as the Rocky franchise.
It does. So okay. We have Rocky III and Karate Kid intersecting here.
Yeah. So there is the creation of the Karate Rock universe here.
Wow. I can't believe you just coined something that will forever maybe alter history here. The Karate Rock?
Karate Rock.
Karate Rock. Oh, I like that. Okay. The Karate Rock. Oh, wow. That would be great.
So Danielson and Rocky Balboa, they could meet someday.
Yeah.
They could fight, potentially.
Daniel loses 99% of the time. 20 times out of 20.
Exactly. How no does way. Thunderlips play into all of this, though?
He just picks up Danielson and just throws him out of the ring. Okay. Or maybe just does a backbreaker on him.
I have no idea what any of those wrestling moves are.
A backbreaker? Oh, you're lying. We're going to talk about both the movie and the song, because you can't have one without the other, of course, right?
Exactly. This is, and I've used the term, and I think that I've used it correctly, this is synonymous with the movie.
Right. And the great thing about this is that it appears in the movie at a very particular time, and in one of the rare moments, it gets perfectly introduced by one of the characters.
Yeah, the introduction to this song is amazing because there's Daniel fighting in the All Valley Karate Championship.
Yep, yep.
Or the All Valley Karate Tournament, I guess. And it's his first match. He's never actually competed in a karate tournament. I don't know if you've competed in a karate tournament. I haven't.
No, I was in jiu-jitsu, but I never ended up going to the tournament. Yeah.
Oh.
I got my yellow belt with an orange stripe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Are your hands registered as lethal weapons?
What do you downgrade on? They're registered as like waffle bats in like the clown museum hall of fame. So something like that. So I have to register when I walk in.
Yeah. Okay. He's a bit out of sorts, doesn't know what to do or how to compete in this karate tournament. And he finally figures it out in this first match, wins.
Yeah.
And then you hear Elizabeth Shue, Daniel, you're the best.
And then do, 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 do.
1 point, round kick. Eight.
And it has that 80s feel of, let's get right to it.
And then it becomes this whole big montage sequence of the All Valley Karate Tournament.
It's one of the great montage sequences. Now, of course, Rocky is the master of the montage. However, the Karate Kid has this thing where it's not just instrumental. You hear sounds.
Yes.
And it tells the story. So in the montage thing, which is, I don't even know it's a montage. It just shows you all the fights. You get to know who the main players are.
For the sake of what's happening later in this episode, it's a montage.
Okay, great. That's fine. Oh, mixtape?
I'm not saying nothing.
Okay, all right. So we realize there's like major players. Like, so on Cobra Kai, you know, Johnny's the main guy. But there's also, is it Danny? Who's the guy who's he's got a bit of a crisis of conscience when he kicks Daniel behind the knee.
Yeah.
And then there's Dutch.
Yes.
And then there's this other guy who I always assumed was Japanese, but he could be Hawaiian or Laotian because I was like, I didn't have a clue in the 80s. But he's a just awesome karate fighter who's going to lose to Johnny, but he shouldn't lose to anybody. He also seems like he might be 30 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but he's this amazing fighter, and Johnny's going to beat him, only solidifying in the viewer's mind that Johnny is by far the better fighter and the better karate guy, and Daniel is way out of his league, and he keeps winning by punching people in the chest when they're distracted.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like a threat at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I know we're going to try to talk about this when we get to the video, but I can't not think about this song and that scene from the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And there is no video for this because this song wasn't released as a single, so there was no real promotion to it. It was just a soundtrack song.
And you had to do a lot of work to figure out who sang it in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Joe Bean Esposito and not finding any info on him. But now, of course, I find out he's involved in all these other things. He wrote a number one Billboard song.
Yeah.
Now he's the lead singer for this group called the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, okay.
Which was like Johnny Maestro on the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah. I think Johnny Maestro actually sang the 16 Candles song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they sang this Jimmy Webb song called Worst That Could Happen, which I guess is a big tune as well. I got to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
But he's done very well. And he's done well in Vegas, and everyone likes him. But you couldn't find this stuff out because we weren't in the loop. We didn't live in LA.
Exactly. His son became a professional baseball player.
Yes, for the Colorado Rockies.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, we were reading the same stuff.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So around the turn of the millennium, I guess, that's when the internet kind of did its thing and everyone started talking about this song. And then you could upload to YouTube and now this song becomes a video.
Yeah, there's that whole wave of like sort of remembrance of these great things that happened in the 80s, even though the 80s weren't that great.
Were the 80s not that great?
I don't know. I think
I can't tell. You never can tell.
No.
But they kind of were, weren't they, Frank?
Yeah, there is a certain
glow.
Yeah, you look back with rose-colored glasses and everything, and there are some amazing things that came out of the 80s that, like, they're completely laughable.
Yeah.
And you'd say, I can't believe this was so cool. But it was so cool at the time.
I got to say, going to see Karate Kid as a kid.
Yeah.
Okay, I realize I just said kid twice, but being there and experiencing that movie was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so this song is part of that. It was such a great movie-going experience. We all believed we could defeat those bullies, huh?
Yeah, exactly, right?
It set us up for a very tough early 90s, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should not talk about that anymore?
No.
Okay. Let's talk verse one.
Yes.
Try to be best, because you're only a man. And a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got to hang tough to make it. History repeats itself. Try and you'll succeed. Never doubt that you're the one and you can have your dreams. Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got to hang tough to make it. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one and you can have your dream. So there is criticism of this verse out there. No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Because of the line, history repeats itself. Because it was written specifically for Rocky III.
Joe Bean Esposito called in, this is on Wikipedia, called into a radio show to say, hey, listen, it's history repeats itself because Rocky's won before.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means this should be played in round 3 of Clubber Lang Balboa 2.
Yes.
Right? But Eye of the Tiger, which replaced it, got played at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I imagine they would play this at the beginning, but it doesn't belong. It should be in the Clubber Lang fight. I know I'm going out there, but I think our listeners know what we're talking about here.
I think so, too.
Now, in Rocky III, Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Apollo Creed, had a vision of what the fight should be with Clubber Lang. Do you remember how many rounds he thought it should go?
I can't remember.
He said, Clubber Lang has never lasted past 7 rounds.
That's right, yeah. So it should be the 8th round.
That's right. Yeah. So we go to the 8th round. Now, this would work in a montage sequence of 8 or 9 rounds against Clubber Lang, like you'd get in Rocky IV, where he goes 15 rounds.
Yeah.
But
fights don't go. I thought there were 12 rounds.
They are now.
Yeah.
Because Rocky got brain damage in Rocky V, they changed it to 12 rounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rocky really changed the world.
He did. Luckily, in Rocky Balboa, he's able to convince him he no longer had brain damage and that he could fight that actual real boxer.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Rocky III.
Back to Rocky III, and then maybe eventually back to the song.
I love Rocky III. I love Karate Kid. I love what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And now I want to tell you what I think about verse one.
Okay.
I have written here, possibly Tom Cruise from Magnolia or Promise Keepers Jordan Peterson TED Talk. Verse one. It's so man-centered. It's so silly.
Yeah.
And even the songwriter, the lyricist rather, Ali, who is not a man, says this is such a stupid song. She thought it was stupid. She thought the song was silly, but she specifically wrote it for Rocky, thinking the movie was kind of silly, but she had to kind of face up to what she had done.
Yeah.
Because guess who used this song?
Well, Donald Trump used it, right?
Donald Trump used it. She's like, no, but I guess it is a stupid song. But then she realized that all these people were inspired by it. And she had to realize that no matter what you write, it can sort of somehow inspire people. So anyways, I see this as kind of like a bad TED Talk, kind of a bad man's thing. We never were into that stuff.
No.
I know we always try to avoid that stuff and we talk big about it, but I think deep down we want to be Rocky III.
Yeah, we want to be Rocky III. We want to be Karate Kid.
Yeah.
We want to be Rocky IV. We don't want to be Rocky V.
And I don't want to really be Rocky II.
No?
Nah, I don't know.
Do you want to be Karate Kid II or no?
Oh my goodness, would I want to be Karate Kid II, Frank?
Yeah, okay, good.
I don't want to be Karate Kid III.
No.
Where you're like, wait a sec, he is 30.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be the next Karate Kid either.
No.
But maybe I'd want to be Cobra Kai. You watch Cobra Kai?
Oh, yeah. I've been watching Cobra Kai.
Is it worth watching?
It is campy and pulpy. It's fun.
Well, okay. You just sold me on it. Yeah. What's bad about it?
The acting.
Okay. I'm almost done Fast and Furious 10.
That's such a good Fast and Furious. What song from that can we do?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure it's a Pitbull song.
Yeah.
All right, but wait, back to this.
Back to the song.
Like, just the actual lyrics here. Try to be best because you're only a man, okay? You got to try to be your best because you're only a man.
Yeah.
And a man's got to learn to take it, okay? Which is like maybe the stoicism of life. You got to just kind of take it.
Yeah.
We do kind of talk about this when I complain about my students.
But I think it's more, again, because written specifically for Rocky III, talking about you got to take your licks. You got to take the hits in the ring.
That's right. That's right.
You're only a man, but you got to take it.
But this is why Ali writes, try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got to hang tough to make it. Now, of course, the 80s love this. You got Hanging Tough, New Kids on the Block. It's going to come out a couple years later. But you also have Billy Ocean saying, when the going gets tough, the tough,
get going.
When the going gets rough, gonna get it, gonna get it, hey. Oh, great bass line. Great bass line in this song, too, by the way. Never doubt that you're the one and you can have your dreams. Did I ever tell you how much I hate TED Talks?
Yes, a couple of times.
Yeah, and unless it's John Farnham giving it. But this whole thing, never doubt that you're the one, you can have your dreams. Like, that's such a lie. And I always try to sort of tell students, like, I know you have dreams, but just remember, there are a lot of correct doors to choose from. You dream of one door. There's like 9 and they're all right. So please keep your eyes open. Chorus, you ready?
Chorus, okay.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. I've Clubber Lang could. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You ready for this one, Frank? You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. Okay, I just repeated the same thing like 3 times.
Yeah, they don't need to change the lyrics because what they're speaking is truth.
That's right. And not only that, Joby and Esposito is like, not only am I going to sing this, I'm going to sing all the parts to this.
Yeah.
Even without having it like a double track thing. I feel like he actually just does it. So when he says you're the best around, no one's going to keep you down. Then he says you're the best. And then he drops it low when he says around. And then when he goes to nothing's going to ever keep you down, he goes as high as possible.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this at a Stag and Doe. We actually went to one. Karen's Stag and Doe.
Yeah.
If you remember that one. And
yeah, we got threatened because we were singing Endless Love together.
Yeah. And I was like, I thought that was our best version we've done.
One of our better ones, yeah.
But the guy who is running karaoke,
yeah,
DJ, told us we had to wait because he was going to sing a bunch of songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he did a solo. And the way that he did this one song, it sounded a whole lot like
Mr. Bean Esposito.
Yeah, totally. He went high, low, all over the place, made decisions that I frankly thought were bad ones for his range. Yeah. Joe Bean pulls it off.
Yeah.
But he comes close, I think, to his limit, as a man ought to.
He took it to the limit just
one more time. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. When you're a kid hearing this, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. It just works so perfectly without having, like you said, there's nothing more you have to do. It works.
No, exactly, right?
All right, let's do verse two.
Verse two.
This is kind of odd to do this type of lyrical analysis for a song that the songwriter has written off as totally stupid.
Yeah, there's no metaphor. There's no deeper meaning. There's no idiom here. It's all just very surface. Yeah. But it's amazing. Yeah.
Maybe some hyperbole where they just keep going. Yeah. Is there a fence? We're hitting over that fence.
Yeah.
It also had me thinking about all these movies we watched in the 80s where the underlying message was always this. You have to beat up the bad guy. And if you're a good enough guy, you won't beat up the bad guy, but you're going to have to beat up the bad guy because that's what the man has to do. Even though it's you're a man of peace, the man of peace every once in a while has to kill this other guy. So in the movies, it'd be like, no, we're going to leave him. Bang, we got to shoot him. So like the end of Lethal Weapon, where instead of taking Gary Busey to jail, which would have made a lot of sense, Mel Gibson just says you want a shot at the title. And then he just beat each other up for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they're like, okay, we're done. But then somehow Gary Busey steals a gun from a cop who should have had that whole gun holstered and locked. Holstered.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets it out and then they both shoot him to death because that's what the good guys have to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Same at the end of Die Hard, where the guy from Family Matters had to kill that guy from all those vodka ice commercials.
I thought you meant that Stephen Urkel got killed.
No. What's his name? What's the name of the chief? It's Carl Winslow.
Yeah,
Carl Winslow had to kill
Reginald Van Johnson, yeah.
Right, he had to kill the blonde-haired dude.
Yeah.
Who somehow came to life. I don't even know how he got out of Nakatomi Building.
I don't know either.
That should be for our Christmas episode.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Frank. Verse 2.
Verse 2.
Fight till the end, because your life will depend on the strength that you have inside you. Oh, okay. Ah, gotta be proud, staring out in the cloud when the odds in the game defy you. Try your best to win them all, and one day time will tell. When you're the one that's standing there, you'll reach the final bell. Fight to the end, cause your life will depend on the strength that you have inside you. Ah, gotta be proud, standing out in the cloud when the odds in the game defy you. Try your best to win them all. There's no bell in a karate tournament.
No, but again, and written specifically for Rocky III.
And so this does describe round three of Rocky III. Fight till the end because your life will depend on the strength. And so Rocky makes really bad decisions. The Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope thing.
Yeah.
It works, of course. But it's not even the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. It's actually just punch me as hard as you can in the face.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to tell you your mom punches harder.
Yeah.
Which is what happens in Rocky III. I'm like, Rock, you're gonna pay for that. And we're all going to have to watch Rocky V because of your decisions. And it's like, even if the odds defy you, you're going to try your best to win them all. Yeah. I love to try your best.
Yeah.
And then you'll win if you just try your best.
But this goes back to the whole 80s sort of action movie, sports movie drama, where Rocky was great, Daniel is great, but there's overwhelming odds. Like Clubber Lang is a monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's just scary. Mean, yeah. Right? And Johnny, he's the returning All-Valley karate champ.
And he's rich, so he can practice all the time, right?
Exactly, right? So, like, everything's stacked up against them. You look at it, and it's just like, no, they got no chance.
Yeah.
They got no chance at all.
Yeah.
What's Daniel going to do here? He's going to crane kick the guy right in the face.
Which, I mean, we're just going to have to come up later or just come out now. But it's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't kick a guy in the face.
No, I don't think so. I don't know a whole lot about karate tournaments, but I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
Well, also, they said it in the movie. You can't punch someone in the face.
Okay. Well, that...
Well, I guess he kicked him. And
yeah, exactly. Maybe he punched him with his foot.
I mean, it's okay if the guy walks into the kick, which is the great Gary Goldman bit on Karate Kid, which I would recommend anyone to listen to. Gary Goldman also probably the best comedian going right now. There's this whole thing. It's like the only way you can lose, Johnny, is by walking into someone kicking you in the face. Like he just had to not walk into him.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's it. Oh, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Karate Kid.
If you haven't seen Karate Kid, but you've been listening to our podcast, been doing things a bit backwards.
Yeah, yeah. The chorus is the same as always.
Yeah.
But we have that guitar solo, Frank.
An amazing guitar solo.
And this is the thing that separates it from like just middle of the road 80s action movie soundtrack songs. I had some friends over last night. Sorry, Frank, I didn't invite you.
I was busy doing other things.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, you washing your hair, you're just telling me.
Feeding my cat.
Yeah, yeah. They listen to You're the Best, and both of them are like, yeah, this is not a good song. I'm like, what? No, no, this is not a good song. This is very bad. And so I was thinking about that today. Like, is it not a good song? Am I wrong? But then I listened to the guitar solo, I'm like, wait, this is way better than I thought it was. That guitar solo kind of shreds. Or rips.
Yes.
I'm not a guitar guy. Does it shred or rip?
I think it does both.
Okay. All right.
But the song itself, the recording of it, it probably was done in one take is my guess.
Yeah.
This is my guess. It's not terribly polished, if I can say that. It's pretty raw. To me, it sounds similar to something that Mark Wahlberg's character would have done in Boogie Nights when he tries to make it as a rock star.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good callback. There is something there. There's a purity to it, too.
Yes.
Where Joe Bean's like, all right, let's go for it. I'm going to be in Rocky 3. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
I believe in myself.
Do you know what went wrong?
Survivor. And so we got a killer guitar solo musical interlude.
Yeah.
And then we get our great chorus again.
Yeah.
But then we get the bridge.
Yes.
And that bridge is perfect for movies.
Yeah.
Fight till you drop. Never stop. Can't give up till you reach the top.
Fight.
You're the best in town.
Fight.
Listen to that sound. A little bit of all you got can never bring you down. I'm kind of confused right there.
I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite expressions to use is, that's a little bit of all right. I love saying that. And that this, a little bit of all you got can never bring you down, just reminds me of, that's a little bit of all right.
So if you give your all just a bit,
it's
going to keep you going.
But even a bit of your all is still your all, right?
Right. That's a paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fight. I love that just the background vocals. Like, who are those people? Is Talia Shire one of them? I hope it is.
I hope so too. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Probably Frank Stallone, though.
Do you want to know what Joe Bean Esposito is saying background on?
Let's hear it.
Different Strokes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
He's all over the place.
Come on.
The guy is there. He's in Hollywood. So different strokes to rule the world.
Yeah.
Mm. I like just thinking of the very ending. Yeah. But he's there. So Jobin Esposito is singing background on a whole bunch of things. His first gig was like on a Ringo Starr album.
Oh, really?
Apparently like Paul McCartney might have just shown up to watch it with Linda McCartney. It's like, what? This is his first thing. He's in his early 20s. Like, welcome to LA.
The man's got hustle.
He does. I got to give that guy credit. And I was wrong about him where I kind of wrote him off because I just didn't know. But now I do. This guy is impressive. And it tells you something also for his own story is you got to fight. And even though, you know, other people got those bigger songs, Jennifer Warren's and
Bill Medley.
That other guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he? Did he ever do anything again, Bill Medley?
Not really.
No, my goodness.
He was in the small band with one of his brothers, apparently.
Right, right. Yeah. So Jobin has done fine. He's doing very well.
Is this song an allegory for Jobin's life?
It could be. No one's ever going to keep you down.
No.
Yeah. And then it ends with them just repeating again and again the same thing.
Yeah, the
and
chorus just
all we want to hear.
Outro, right?
Oh, my goodness. You're the best. So good.
And so very good.
If you don't like it, then I don't know what to say because this is what we're about.
Exactly, right? Like, we get it. There's a cheesiness about it, but there's an earnestness about it, too.
It does kind of describe our podcast that we've never been able to quite describe. Exactly. Although there are moments when I think we get closer to describing what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I think this is it.
140 episodes in, we're starting to finally figure out what we're actually doing here.
Well, this is kind of like what our life has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have no idea what I'm doing in my life.
I think we're doing better on the podcast than we're doing on our own.
Yeah,
lives.
I think so too.
So we usually talk about a video. I think we talked about the video, which is this. It's either the round three of Rocky III or a chorus.
Well, it's the montage sequence of Karate Kid.
And then when it comes to those really heartfelt moments where Daniel gets kicked behind the knee.
Yeah.
And where the guy who should have won with the greatest like roundhouse kick combo.
Oh yeah, he's amazing.
He showed off too much and he gets punched in the gut or face or whatever by Johnny.
You can't get punched in the face in karate tournaments.
I know. Except when they kept punching people in the face.
Except when they kept punching people in
the face. I read a whole thing about how this is like the worst representation of a karate tournament. Like, it's nothing like it because usually it's about form.
Yeah.
It's about also your ethics as a fighter.
Yeah.
And so none of this is true in anything we saw. Like, when you watch it, it's like, I can't even figure out how they get points.
You get points by punching people in the face, which is illegal.
And then you get to Karate Kid 2, which maybe we'll talk about in another episode.
Maybe.
Maybe. But we definitely won't get to a Karate Kid 3 song, so we can talk Karate Kid 3. That stunk.
Yeah.
Karate Kid 3 ends with a tournament where Daniel doesn't have to fight till the very last one, where this other guy just beats everybody up really badly.
Yeah.
And then beats up Daniel a lot, and then purposely disqualifies himself for 2 points, and then Daniel wins by doing a floor routine.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's terrible.
I also saw that at the theater.
Did you?
It was such a bummer.
It was in like 1990.
89.
89.
The year of like all those other movies. Last Crusade, Batman. No, 1990 was the year of Dick Tracy.
That's right.
I had a shirt and everything.
Yeah.
Oh man, I know I talked about it, but I'm just going to bring it back. That movie was bad. I couldn't come to grips with it because I had no idea what was going on.
I remember I was going to see Last Crusade with my family. I think we went to the drive-in to see it because I was a big Indiana Jones fan. And there was a girl in my class that asked if she could come with us. And I was like, no, it's just my family.
Oh, Frank.
I mean, I'm 12 years old. What do I know?
Here's some categories. I have just a big blank here because I'd say a Hallmark movie, but we already have 2 movies.
Yeah, exactly. We already discussed who would win in a fight between... What's Daniel's last name? Daniel LaRusso. Yeah, that's right. Between Daniel LaRusso and Rocky Balboa, because they both exist in the Karate Rock universe.
Rocky would kill him.
Absolutely.
But I don't think Rocky would actually fight him, because I think Rocky's too nice.
Yeah.
But Clubber Lang will kill him.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so in the Karate Kid-Rocky crossover, Clubber Lang meets Daniel LaRusso and beats him up in an alley. Daniel LaRusso's in a hospital bed in a medically induced coma. And then Rocky fights for Daniel's honor in a street fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Miraculously, Daniel comes out of the coma and is watching it and basically roundhouse kicks Clubber Lang after he cheap shots Rocky with an illegal move. And that's how they win.
Okay, so this is Mr. Miyagi's already passed away.
Yeah.
Right, okay, okay. So this is like late period.
Yeah.
All right, all right. I like it. And it has a bit of Rocky V in there, which always needs to be redeemed somehow.
Yeah.
We're getting closer to it.
This was the Rocky V that was supposed to come out. Yeah.
And it's fundamentally important that Clubber Lang never is redeemed.
Yeah.
He doesn't become a good guy. Everyone kind of wants this, but it's like, no.
Yeah.
Clubber Lang's just bad.
Yeah, exactly. In the first four Rockies, there's that sort of redemptive arc that Apollo Creed has, where he's just that bombastic sort of champ, and he's taunting Rocky, and then he's not really a bad guy in Rocky One, but in Rocky Two,
yeah,
you're really cheering for Rocky. Yeah, and then Rocky Three, that's where they solidified that friendship because they need each other, and then Rocky Four is unfortunately his demise.
Oh yeah, I still don't like that they killed him.
No,
they didn't need to do that. Yeah. But there's problems with Clubber Lang. Like, I feel like it doesn't really matter because all the kids loved Mr. T anyways.
Yeah.
They could see him as a bad guy, but he's also B.A. Baracus. Doesn't
yeah.
really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I love this crossover universe. This really opens up a world of possibilities.
Yeah. Well, in the Karate Kid Rocky 2 movie, that's when Thunderlips comes in.
Okay.
Who else do you think could sing this song?
You know, I do have a band that I think could do this.
Okay.
I think the Smithereens could sing this song.
Okay.
Because they just seem like a Catalo rock to me.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking maybe Eric Carmen.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
I think he rocks enough.
He can. It would be pretty melodic.
Or, oh, what's his name? He was the soap opera actor.
Danny? No, from Young and the Restless?
Yeah, Rock On.
Rock On, yeah.
What's his real name?
Michael Damian.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't believe I went immediately to his character for Young and the Restless, betraying all that I've tried to present myself. I was like, I don't watch that show. But I can't believe he would cheat on Cricket.
Bill.
Sorry. Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Do you, Frank?
No, I don't. But the fact that you went specifically to something from pop culture does not betray who you are.
No.
That's who you are.
It is. Oh, man.
We know people from pop culture way more than we know real people.
I know. We're going to have to do Rock On.
Yeah.
Let me add that.
Absolutely. It's on the list.
What have we been waiting for?
I don't know. See us shake on the movie screen.
Jimmy Dean. Jimmy Dean. Rock On.
Were you able to cobble together a mixtape?
Oh, was I ever.
Okay, fantastic. What's the theme on this one?
Second rate training montage movie soundtrack songs. But it has to be second rate. It can't be first rate. Second rate.
Okay, because I was...
What do you have?
Montage music.
Okay, I want you to go first.
No, you first.
Okay.
Because I think there might be some crossover, but mine was just general montage, okay. Not necessarily
training. All right, I'm going to go with my second rate, which also means I had too much on it, but I'm going to stick to my theme.
Okay.
First song, Never Surrender, Paul Herzog from the Bloodsport soundtrack.
Oh, okay, nice. Never surrender! That's great.
Okay, next up, I don't know if this is in a movie, but it's by Frank Stallone.
Yeah.
It's called Running.
Oh, yes, I know this song.
It's from his solo album, but I'm doing a quick run to this, running on the spot.
Yeah.
And sweating.
Eating jazzercise to this.
Yeah. Next up, Iron Eagle, Never Say Die.
Oh, nice call.
Next up, I'm just like decided I'm going with two. So this rad movie that I've never seen that we're talking about, Thunder in Your Heart, our buddy John Farnham.
Yeah, oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I'm ending with another one. John Farnham, Break the Ice from Rad. It's a little more heartfelt.
Yeah.
And I feel it's a bit of a cool down mix.
Yeah.
But he also talks about the need to break the ice.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that takes muscles and guts and iron, maybe literal, to break the ice.
Yeah.
So that is my mixtape. I wanted to steer clear of even some major movie soundtracks that had maybe second-rate songs that were first-rate for us, because maybe you'll have them.
Yeah. So that was bonkers good.
Thank you very much.
So I had basically the same theme. It was montage music, but these were not second rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start it off with Let's Hear It for the Boy, Denise Williams from Footloose.
Yes, yes.
Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, different type of training montage.
Exactly. Dirty Dancing. Two dancing montages.
Right, right. Okay.
Followed by a third.
Mm.
Maniac, Michael Cimbello from Flashdance.
Oh, yes.
Then I am going to go with Winner Takes It All, Sammy Hagar from Over the Top.
Mm-hmm.
And we finish it with Playing with the Boys by Kenny Loggins, the volleyball scene in Top Gun.
Great video for that too, which is like volleyball in a gym, I think.
Yeah.
Oh man, okay. Excellent. What a mixtape. Listen, listeners, we put this in the show notes. It'll say mixtape and just tap it with your hand if you have a touch screen. Do you not have touch screen phones? Maybe people listen to this on their computer.
I listen to it on the computer at work.
Oh, you do? Yeah, right. Gotcha.
Whoever my new boss is that's starting tomorrow, I did not say that.
No, you didn't.
I'm working at work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're listening to this on your computer. You can click on our show notes and then it'll say mixtape. And if you click there, it takes you to Spotify.
Yep.
But you can also make it on your own on your Sonos system or your Apple thing.
This episode brought to you by Sonos and Apple. You're the best.
Well, I feel pretty good about approaching a song that was like super important to a lot of people's lives. I know in my family, my brother is right now like listening to this episode intensely because I know he pumped iron to this song.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah. So for all you out there, we hope we did justice to You're the Best.
And we know that not necessarily every one of these episodes is everyone's favorite. We try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, and we're gonna try and we'll succeed on Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.